Okay. Are you good? Are you? Okay. Okay, so tonight we're having a specialized topic, which is built off of our conclusions from last week. So let's just spend 2 minutes quickly summarizing the discussion from last week, which will set up tonight's special discussion. Last week, we raised the issue about putting up temporary walls on Shabbos. What's the halacha if you want to put up what we call a mechitzas aray on Shabbos? Like, let's say you want to take out a sheet and you want to spread out the sheet and make a makeshift wall on Shabbos. So what's the halacha? So we saw that this was a basic machlokas rishonim between Rashi on the one hand versus the Maram Rutenberg and Rabbi Natam on the other hand. Starting with the shita of Rashi, so Rashi's opinion was that it is perfectly permissible to put up temporary walls on Shabbos. It is mutter to erect a mechitzas aray on Shabbos. That was the shita of Rashi from last week. And we saw that Rabbi Natam and the Maram Rutenberg argued. The Maram Rutenberg and Rabbi Natam held that it is also to put up a temporary wall on Shabbos if it is a mechitza hamateres, meaning if it's a wall that's coming to permit a halachic function, even if it's just a temporary wall, so that's going to be prohibited. The classic example, just to give one example we had from last week, was if let's say you want to put up, let's say there was an Erev that fell down. There's a section of the Erev that fell down, and you put back up that section of the Erev, so you're putting up a type of partition which is going to permit carrying in the enclosed area. So that would be an example of a mechitza hamateres, which you can't do on Shabbos, according to these Rishonim. When you put up that section of the Erev, you're setting up, you're permitting a halachic function of carrying in the enclosed area, and that would be prohibited according to these Rishonim. So that was the basic machlokas we had last week concerning putting up temporary walls on Shabbos. Now, based on that sugya, so we're going to discuss now tonight an interesting shaila that comes up in the poskim. The question that comes up is as follows. Let's say you have a shul that doesn't have permanent mechitzos for the woman section. Let's say every single week they put up temporary mechitzos to section off an area for the woman section. An example of this would be Landers. Landers doesn't have a permanent woman section. Landers, every single week, they put up their temporary accordion mechitzos, whatever those wheeling and mechitzos in the corner of the base medrash. And that's the woman section for each week. So the question becomes, if you don't set this up before Shabbos, is it mutter to set up the mechitzos for the woman section on Shabbos itself? That's the shaila that comes up in the poskim, and that's going to be tonight's topic. So let's just get the ball rolling in the analysis. So obviously this is now going to be built off of our discussion from last week. The issue at hand is putting up temporary walls. I'm discussing a case when I put up the mechitzos for the woman section, I'm putting up temporary walls. And so the starting point in the analysis is going to be built off of last week's discussion. So starting with the shita of Rashi, Rashi's shita was that it is permissible to put up temporary walls on Shabbos. And so working with the shita of Rashi, it would certainly be permissible to put up these walls for the woman's section on Shabbos, because it's just a temporary wall. It's a mechitzas aray. That would be perfectly permissible. The problem is that we don't paskin like Rashi. We paskin like the Maram Rutenberg and Rabbi Natam, that it is usher to put up a temporary wall if it's, again, a mechitza hamateres, meaning it's a partition that's serving a halachic function. If it's serving to permit a halachic function, so that is prohibited to do according to the Psak Halacha. And so the question becomes, according to Rabbi Natam, according to the Maram, is it permissible to set up the mechitzos for the woman's section on Shabbos? Halach l'maisa, can we do this on Shabbos? And the crux of the issue being whether this is considered to be a mechitza hamateres. If this is considered to be a mechitza hamateres, if these partitions we put up for the woman's section are called a mechitza hamateres, that's permitting a halachic function that's going to be usher to do on Shabbos. If it's not considered to be a mechitza hamateres, it's going to be permissible to do on Shabbos. So that's the that's going to be the goal for tonight's discussion. Penny, you got a question?
Does it matter if they're already standing?
And Penny asked, does it matter if they're already standing? So you mean like if I'm moving them while they're already standing? Is that your question? Okay, so that's an interesting question. That's a general shayla actually in Ohel. It's a machlokas poskim. If you have an Ohel that is in one spot and I move it to another spot, so is that called erecting it or not? Meaning it wasn't, folded in. It was up, I just moved it. So that's an interesting shaila that comes up in the postgame.
Would it be moksha?
Okay. Fine. So, okay. So in order to analyze this shaila, in order to figure out the nature of the mechitzos in shul, whether it's considered to be mechitza materes, we now need to move over to the sugya of having mechitzos in shul during davening. We need to learn up that sugya properly to figure out whether this is considered to be. Okay, can you hear me again? We good? Okay. Thank you. I got a little too excited there. So in order to figure out this the halacha in this situation, we need to move over to the sugya of mechitzas in general in shul, and we're going to learn out that sugya, and we're going to build it up from the ground up. And Amir Tzashem, by the end of tonight's chabura, after we figure out what's going on in that sugya, so we'll come back to our shaila and reassess what's going on in this shaila. So that's the agenda for now. Okay. So moving over to the sugya of mechitzos in shul in general during davening. We're all used to the fact that when you walk into a shul, there's some type of partition between the men and the women during davening. Where does this halacha come from? And just to make a disclaimer, Baruch Hashem, we've been running this chabura for many years now. Once in a blue moon, we hit a sugya where I just have to make a quick disclaimer. So just to make that disclaimer that we've made once in a while, in this chabura, I'm not here to discuss halacha maisa or hashkafic issues, obviously. We're just here to learn up sugyas. So I'm just learning up the sugya like we would learn up any other sugya. I'm not here to, with any agenda at all. As would be evidenced by the fact that we tried to permit turning off electricity on Shabbos a few weeks ago. Okay, fine. fine. Okay. So where does this halacha come from? So where does the halacha come from? So it begins with a Mishnah in Sukkah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah in Sukkah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph is discussing the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Simchas Beis HaShoeva was a very special celebration that took place during Chol Moed Sukkos. And the Mishnah there tells us one act of preparation that was done to prepare for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Mishnah tells us that right after the first day of Sukkot, on Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, they would prepare for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva by doing a Tikkun Gadol, by doing a very significant, a very important procedure to prepare for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That's what the Mishnah tells us. Doesn't tell us what that procedure was, just that they did something very important to get ready for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What did they do? So the Gemara there on Nun Aleph Amud Beis in Sukkah clarifies. It tells us that they set up balconies for the women's section. The Simchas Beis HaShoeva took place in the part of Har Abayis, which was the Ezras Nashim, and the men and women would be present for the celebration. And this very profound, this very significant improvement, you know, preparation that they did was that they set up balconies so that the men could be on the bottom floor, the women would be on the top floor, and that was the very important tikkun that was done to get ready for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein from the Mar Makomos, everything I'm quoting is from the Mar Makomos, it's all in the app if you want to look at it. Says Rav Moshe that this is the makor for the general requirement for separate seating in shul. The fact that we find this insistence that during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the men and women would sit separately, that is the makor for the general requirement to have separate seating in shul. That is how Rav Moshe starts his tshuva off. And Rav Moshe continues and he says that it's actually a mashma from the continuation of that Gemara, that this requirement for separate seating in shul is a requirement mida araisa. It's not merely a derabanan requirement, it's a requirement mida araisa. So we're now going to move over to the continuation of that Gemara in Sukkah and show how Rav Moshe deduced from this piece of Gemara that this is a requirement mida araisa. So moving on in the Gemara there in Sukkah, the Gemara there raises the following question. The Gemara asks that there's an Isser D'Oraisa to add on to the Beis HaMikdash. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't just decide on his own what to put where and what the dimension should be. He was issued direct instructions from the Nevi'im. Nosen HaNovi, God HaChozer gave him specific instructions how to build a Beis HaMikdash. And after it was complete, there was an Isser De'Oraisa to make any additions to the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk says, HaKol B'Ksav Mi'ad HaShem. It was all written from the hand of Hashem, the exact blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's usher to make any additions to the Beis HaMikdash. So it asks the Gemara, how could they put up balconies in the Beis HaMikdash for the women's section when you're making an addition to the structure of Shlomo HaMelech? Shlomo HaMelech made the Beis HaMikdash. It's usher De'Oraisa to make any additions to the Beis HaMikdash. That was the Gemara's question there in Sukkah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. So the Gemara answers as follows. The Gemara there says that there's a pasuk in Zechariah which is going to serve as the basis to permit putting up these balconies in the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk in Zechariah is discussing the future in the times of Mashiach. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to get killed. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to die in the Milchamas Gog u'Magog. And there's going to be a hesped, there's going to be a big eulogy to mourn Mashiach ben Yosef. And the pasuk in Zechariah indicates that this at this eulogy for Mashiach ben Yosef, there's going to be separate seating. The men are going to sit in one section, the women are going to sit in another section. Says the Gemara, that we see from the fact that there is going to be this insistence on separate seating in the times of Mashiach in the future. And in the times of Mashiach in the future, there's not even going to be a Yetzer Hara. In the future, Lasa Lavo, there's going to be no Yetzer Hara. But nonetheless, there's still going to be an insistence on separate seating. Then Kal Vachomer, certainly in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Yetzer Hara is operative, when the Yetzer Hara is strong and active, it must be that there's going to be separate seating, that it's okay to have balconies for separate seating. That's the Gemara's resolution for how it was mutter to add on these balconies to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the Shaka Vataria of this Gemara here in Sukkah. Comes along Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe raises just a very basic question on this Gemara. He says, how did the Gemara answer its question? The question was that there's an Isser De'Oraisa to add on to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it's very nice that there's a Kal Vachomer, a very logical argument that the separate seating is very important. At the eulogy of Mashiach ben Yosef, there's going to be separate seating. At the end of the day, there's an Isser De'Oraisa to add on to the Beis HaMikdash. So how are we circumventing an Isser De'Oraisa to add on to the Beis HaMikdash because of this Kal Vachomer that there should be separate seating in different venues? So Rav Moshe, that's the Kasha. Did anyone hear the Kasha? Okay. Thank you, Penny, for the head nod. So Rav Moshe says like this. He says there's only one way to explain this Gemara. And there's only one way that this Kal Vachomer can circumvent the Isser De'Oraisa. And that is if this Kal Vachomer is clarifying for us the original blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash. The Kal Vachomer is teaching us that originally when Shlomo HaMelech was given the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash, it was self-understood. It was implicit that there could be balconies for separate seating. It may not have been explicit in Nach, but it's clear. It's clear based on this Kal Vachomer from the Torah's insistence on separate seating that when the Beis HaMikdash was built originally, the blueprints, it was implicit in the blueprints that there could be balconies when necessary for separate seating. That's the only way that this Kal Vachomer can contend with an Isser De'Oraisa, by explaining that it's not contending with an Isser De'Oraisa. It's undercutting it. It's explaining that, you're right, you can't add on to the blueprints, but this is part of the blueprints itself understood. The original blueprints allowed for balconies. This is how Rav Moshe explains the answer of the Gemara. But says Rav Moshe, if that's the pshat in the Gemara, if this Kal Vachomer is clarifying the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash, then by definition, this Kal Vachomer is teaching us a De'Oraisa principle. Because the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash are backed up by an Isser De'Oraisa. There's an Isser De'Oraisa to add on to the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash. It's impossible to clarify an Isser De'Oraisa by an Isser De'Rabbanan. It must be that this Kal Vachomer, that there has to be separate seating in different venues, is an Isser De'Oraisa. Because only an Isser De'Oraisa can clarify another Isser De'Oraisa. Only a principle on a De'Oraisa level can clarify another principle on a De'Oraisa level. If the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash are issued by the Torah are backed up by Nisr De'Oraisa, the only way you can modify the blueprints is with another principle De'Oraisa of separate seating. So this is Rav Moshe's kickoff to his tshuva. It's a very long and very significant tshuva on the issue of mechitzas and shul. And he kicks off his tshuva by telling us that this is an Isser De'Oraisa. The need for separate seating is an Isser De'Oraisa based on this analysis of this piece of Gemara. Okay, we're going to stop now for questions. Ben.
Okay, so first of all, talks about how in the morning for Shiachar Yosef, the men were by themselves and the women were by themselves. There's no mention of any structure between them, like the Hapagir and the wall. So how do we...
Ben is asking that in the pasuk from Mashiach ben Yosef, it doesn't tell us anything about the structuring of the Beis Hamikdash. How exactly are we deriving from that pasuk? Okay, Ben is asking that in the Hesped of Mashiach ben Yosef, who says that there's going to be a mechitza? Maybe they'll just sit on opposite, you know, kind of like at a chuppah, you know, like the men on one side, the women on another side. Who says there's going to be a mechitza? So I don't know the answer to that question. Mirtz Hashem, we should find out soon. Okay, so Ben is.
If it's a deraisa, why did they go without
the bathroom? Ben is asking Kedarka Bakodesh a sophisticated question based on the Shaka Vataria of the Gemara. Just for the sake of time and complexity, I can't address that right now, but it's a very good question. We're going to see the post can get into that question. Okay, any questions on Zoom?
Is
Penny?
Mechitza Moksa?
Penny?
Nathan's asking is if the Mechitza, wouldn't the Mechitza be Moksa?
Is a mechitza muksa? Okay, Penny's learning Hilchos Muksa. Every single time we learn a sugya, he's analyzing how it fits into Hilchos Muksa. It's a very good question. It happens to be a very good question, but it's beyond the purview of our discussion tonight.
Which
is
there Moshe putting it into?
Sorry, what
did
you say?
Is it Osikrivil? Which is there of?
Okay, Penny's asking what Isser does this fit under in the 613 mitzvahs? I was driving to yeshiva tonight, and I knew you were going to ask this question. And I don't know which of the 613 it fits into. I don't know which one it fits into, but it could be related to Mikdash Tiro'o and a base measures of Mikdash Ma'at. Okay, the exact which of the 613 has to be figured out. But he's deducing from the Shaka Vataria of the Gemara that there's an Isser Deraisa going on. Do you mind if we go on, Yona? Just okay. I just don't want to get too bogged down. The questions are very important, but there are going to be a lot of questions. So do you mind if we just go on a little more? Okay, fine. Now, Rav Moshe, after that first preliminary insight to kick off his tshuva, so he has a second insight. It's really at the end of the tshuva, but I'm going to call it a second preliminary insight just because for where we're headed, it's going to set us up for where we're headed. So Rav Moshe makes a second preliminary insight from the same piece of Gemara regarding the nature of this requirement for separate seating in shul. And that is really the next question that has to be asked, which is, where exactly does this requirement apply? In which venues is there this requirement for separate seating? So Rav Moshe says like this. He says that certainly during davening itself, there's going to be a requirement for some type of separation. Because during davening itself, when you say Kedusha, when you say Kaddish, there certainly is going to have to be separate seating, some separation. That's what Rav Moshe says. But he says that it's actually implicit, it's mashma from this Gemara in Sukkah, that this requirement is not limited to davening. Because once again, what's the case that we're now bringing up in the Gemara? The eulogy of Mashiach ben Yosef in the future. Now, at the eulogy of Mashiach ben Yosef, I guess we'll find out, but I don't know if, you know, maybe they'll daven Marav afterwards, but during the eulogy itself, it's just the eulogy. Yet there's still going to be this insistence on separate seating. So Rav Moshe says, it's mashma from this Gemara, that this requirement for a mechitza and for separate seating is not limited to davening. It applies to any time that there's a public gathering for the sake of a mitzvah. Any time that there's a public gathering for the sake of a chov, this chiyuv applies. And so a eulogy would be an example. There's a certain mitzvah to eulogize somebody passed away. So that would be an example of this situation where there has to be separate seating. And shul obviously is another example where we gather together to carry out a mitzvah. So that is the second kickoff insight of Rav Moshe, just to start out the sugya of mechitzas and shul. Just to summarize, insight number one is that this is an iser deraisa. If there's no mechitza at all, then there's an iser deraisa, which Rav Moshe deduced from the Gemara here in Sukkah. And insight number two is, where does this requirement apply? Says Rav Moshe that it definitely applies during davening itself. And he says, I think it applies any time that there's a public gathering for the sake of a chov. He actually says that if it's not for the sake of a chov, if it's a public gathering for the sake of a reshus in another tshuva, then he thinks that it's not a problem. And so he says at weddings, he thinks that it's okay to have mixed seating. So that's what Rav Moshe writes in another tshuva. Okay, so everyone's encouraged to start from Siman Lamed Tes in Igros Moshe. He has four tshuvas back to back on these exciting inyanim. Okay. So after those two kickoff points, we now come to the real million-dollar question. And so that is, so how are we supposed to build our mechitzos in shul? What type of separation is necessary to fulfill this iser deraisa, to have the men and women sitting together? So in order to answer this question, we have to go back to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is this paradigm, is the original source for this requirement for separate seating. The fact that the women were on the balconies and the men were down below is this is the makor for this whole parsha. So we have to go back to the Beis HaMikdash and analyze what exactly was the role of those balconies, what was the purpose of the mechitzos, or so to speak, the balconies in that situation, and that's going to help us figure out how to build our mechitzos in shul. So the truth of the matter is that if we go back to the Beis HaMikdash, there actually seems to be a stira. There's a contradiction in sources as to what was the purpose of separating the men from the women. What's the purpose of a mechitza in the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak? What's the purpose of a mechitza in shul? There's a stira between a Mishnah in Midos and Rambam in Mishnah Torah on the one hand versus a Rambam in Perish Mishnayos on the other hand. So let's go through the stira in sources as to what is the purpose of the mechitza in shul. On the one hand, starting with the Mishnah in Midos, so this is all from the Marmakomos, you can check it out on the app. The Mishnah in Midos is discussing the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash, the structuring of the Beis HaMikdash, and it references this point that there were balconies put in the Beis HaMikdash for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and it adds a few more words as to why they put up these balconies. Why was it necessary to separate the men from the women? Says the Mishnah in Midos, to prevent irbuvia, to prevent mixing together, to prevent intermingling of the men and the women. That was the purpose of separating the men from the women, says the Mishnah in Midos, to prevent irbuvia, intermingling of the men and the women. And if you look at the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, also in the Maram Komos, he just codifies that Mishnah in Midos, and he spells it out word for word, basically, and he points out that the Beis HaMikdash had these balconies to avoid irbuvia, to avoid intermingling between the men and the women. So that is source number one on what's the purpose of the mechitza and shul, what's the purpose of having the women sit on balconies to avoid intermingling between the men and the women. Okay. The problem is the Rambam in the Perish of Mishnayos. The Rambam, aside from writing his big-time work on the Mishnah Torah, which was his halacha sefer, he also wrote a very important sefer on the Mishnayos, explaining the Mishnayos, which we call the Perish HaMishnayos. And the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos to Sukkah also is discussing these balconies that were put up in the Beis HaMikdash. And he seems to give a different explanation as to why we needed to separate the women from the men. Says the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos that why did we put the women onto balconies? So to avoid histaklis, to avoid the men being able to see the women, to prevent the men from being able to be mistakel and to see the women. That's what the Rambam writes in the Perish Mishnayos to Sukkah. So we now have a contradiction in sources. What is the purpose of the mechitza in shul? What is the issue we're trying to avoid? On the one hand, the Mishnah in Midos tells us that the issue is intermingling, irbuvia. We have to prevent intermingling of men and women. On the other hand, the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos to Sukkah tells us that we have to prevent histaklis. We can't have the men being able to see the women. And so the question becomes, so how do we resolve this contradiction? What is the underlying purpose of the mechitza in shul? That's the big stira that has to be resolved. Any questions on the setup before we go into the analysis? Emmanuel? Okay. So there is a major machlokas aposkim concerning how to resolve this stira, which is going to have tremendous nafkaminas lahalacha between Rav Moshe versus the Satmar Rav. And I guess you can probably figure out who's going to say what. But Machlokas HaPosukim between Rav Moshe versus the Satmar Rav on how to resolve this stira and what is the purpose of the mechitza in shul. So let's go through the two approaches in the poskim, how to resolve this stira. Starting with the shita of Rav Moshe. So this is all in that first tshuva, again, Or Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Tes, and it's really just a few tshuvas back to back. Rav Moshe says like this. He says that the underlying purpose of the mechitzos in shul, the underlying purpose of the balconies in the Beis HaMikdash, is to avoid irbuvia, is to avoid intermingling between the men and the women. or as Rav Mordechai Willick put it, I see Yaakov Bluestein is on. So a few weeks ago, I told Yaakov that we're doing the sugya soon. And the next day, he happened to be listening to a live question and answer from Rav Mordechai Willick. And one of the questions was on mechitzos in shul. So he quickly ran over to me so that I could listen in on the five-minute Rav Mordechai Willick discussion on the sugya. So I'll throw in a few points from Mordechai Willick throughout. But just to start out, so the way Mordechai Willick said over Rav Moshe's shita is that the purpose of the mechitza is to avoid socializing. That's the way he put it, that the Mishnah Midah says intermingling. So Mordechai Willick put it that the goal of the mechitza in shul, according to Rav Moshe, is to avoid socializing between the men and the women. Exactly as the Mishnah Midos had described, as the Rambam had said in the Mishnah Torah, to prevent irbuvia. And Rav Moshe says, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove to you that the purpose of the mechitza is to prevent socializing, to use Rav Mordechai Willick's word. It's not to prevent histoklis, not to prevent the men seeing the women. Because what was that solution that they had in the base of the Mikdash? To have women on balconies. Says Rav Moshe, there's no indication anywhere that the men couldn't see the women up on the balconies. It's true the women were on the balconies, but there's no indication that the men couldn't see the women on the balconies. So we see that the real purpose of the mechitza cannot be to prevent the men seeing the women. The purpose of the mechitza is to prevent socializing or intermingling between the men and the women. That's what Rav Moshe says is the real purpose of the mechitza in shul. Now, of course, the question becomes, but what about the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos? The Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos in Sukkah had said that the purpose of putting the women onto the balconies was to prevent histoklis, to stop the men from being able to see the women. So how do we explain the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos? So Rav Moshe says like this. He says that when the Rambam says that we need to avoid the men seeing the women in the base of Mikdash, the point is that if you have a situation where the men and women are on the same floor and there's no mechitza, there's no separation, what's going to start the whole issue? What's going to start the whole issue is the histoklis. The fact that the men see the women is what's going to lead to the socializing. The histoklis leads to socializing. So that's what the Rambam said, that we need to prevent histoklis because that's what starts the whole process. That the issue is not really the men seeing the women. The issue is socializing, is intermingling. It's just when the Rambam said we can't have the men seeing the women, the point is that if the women would not have been on balconies, if they would have been down below, what would have started the whole issue would be the histoklis, the fact that they could see the women would lead to socializing. And so that's what the Rambam there means. But the real purpose of the mechitza in shul, says Rav Moshe, is to prevent socializing. So that is approach number one, the shita of Rav Moshe, that what's the underlying resolution to the stira, what's the purpose of the mechitza, to stop irbuvia, to stop socializing. Okay. So that is approach number one. So now we come to the second approach, which is the approach of the Satmar Rav. The Satmar Rav is in the Shilas and Shuvas Divrei Yoel, Chelek Aleph Simen Yod. It's also the Shita of the Tosas Yantav. And Rav Mordechai Willick had said when he's in that Q&A, thanks to Yaakov Bluestein, he said that to his knowledge, this is the opinion of most poskim. So whatever, we'll call it the Satmar Rav and the Tosas Yantav. The Satmar Rav has a very, very impressive tshuva that is extremely long, and the entire tshuva is dedicated to arguing on Rav Moshe. He basically spends the entire tshuva going through Rav Moshe's tshuva line by line and arguing on every single point that Rav Moshe makes, which obviously Rav Moshe was Rav Moshe, but I'm just presenting it in an engaging way. I mean, he was a Satmar Rav also, but that was the purpose of the tshuva of the Satmar Rav. And the crux of his argument is as follows. The crux of the Satmar Rav's argument, and it really is a very impressive tshuva, is as follows. He says, at the end of the day, the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos, the Sukkah, says that the purpose of the balconies was to prevent the men from seeing the women, and we have no right to lav dafka the language of the Rambam. Rav Moshe is telling us that the Rambam didn't really mean seeing just leads to socializing. Says the Satmar Rav, we have no right to distill the language of the Rambam. The Rambam tells us that the purpose of the balconies was to stop the men from seeing the women. That means that the purpose of the mechitza and shul, the purpose of separation, is to stop histoklis. That's the purpose of the balconies. But Rav Moshe had said that when the women are up on the balconies, the men could still see the women. Says the Satmar Rav, says who? He goes through sources, and it's a very intelligent debate here, but they all go through sources as to if the men could see the women on the balconies. But the Satmar Rav goes through the sources, and he says that the men could not see the women on the balconies. The balconies were set up in a way that the men could not see the women on the balconies because the purpose of the balconies was to prevent histoklis. Exactly as the Rambam had said in the Perish Mishnayos, the purpose of the separation is to stop the men from being able to see the women. That is the purpose of the mechitza, says the Satmara. Now, of course, the question becomes the Mishnah and Midos. The Mishnah and Midos had told us that what was the purpose of the separation? Why do we have the balconies? To prevent irbuvia, to prevent intermingling of the men and the women. So this is the weak point or the subtle points of the Satmarav and his approach. He says something extremely subtle. It's very intelligent, but it's also very, very subtle. He says like this. He says that when the Mishnah and Midos and the Rambam and Mishnah Torah had said that the purpose of the separation was to prevent irbuvia, that's one in the same with histakles. Because when you have a situation where the men are able to see the women, that is a form of interaction. It's a form of intermingling. When you have everyone in one room and they're looking at each other, that's a type of intermingling. It's a type of interaction. It's really one and the same. And the purpose of the mechitza is to avoid gazing. So that is approach number two, the shita of the Satmarav, for how to resolve this theory in sources, that the purpose of the mechitza and shul is to prevent histakles, is to prevent the men being able to see the women. And if you look at the Tosas Yom Tov from the Maram Komos, it's clear that he as well is understanding that was the purpose of the balconies. It was to prevent the men from being able to see the women. So with that, we've concluded the two big time approaches in the poskim now as to what's the purpose of the mechitza in shul. What's the issue that we're trying to overcome when we set up a mechitza in shul? According to Rav Moshe, the purpose of the mechitza is to prevent intermingling or socializing. Whereas according to the Satmarav, and according to the Tosas Yom Tov, the purpose of the mechitza is to prevent the men being able to see the women. Now, obviously, there's a tremendous nafkamina lahalacha, and that is how exactly do we need to construct the mechitzos in shul? How exactly, how high does the mechitza need to be in shul? So that's going to be the major nafkamina in this machlokas. So let's go back through the two approaches and show how they concluded how high the mechitza needs to be in shul. So starting with the shita of Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe's shita was, once again, what's the purpose of the mechitza? To prevent socializing, the men from socializing with the women. So Rav Moshe says like this. He says that we see from the base of Mikdash that the ideal form of separation is to have the women on an upper floor and the men on a lower floor. A lot of shuls do this. They have an upper floor to be serviced as Ezra's Nashem with balconies, and the men are on the lower floor. Says Rav Moshe, we see from the base of Mikdash that that's the ideal form of separation. But what do we do if we can't do that? Some shuls cannot be constructed in that manner to have an upper floor and a lower floor. So now they all have to be in the same room, or we have to put up a mechitza. So how high does the mechitza need to be? So says Rav Moshe like this. He says that me'ikar adin bidi aved, since the purpose of the mechitza is just to prevent intermingling, the mechitza just has to be at shoulder height. As long as the mechitza is at shoulder height, that will suffice to prevent socializing. Once it's high enough that the men and women cannot readily pass things to each other across the mechitza, that will prevent any form of interaction, and that will solve the purpose of the mechitza. And so to give an exact measurement, Rav Moshe says 18 tfachim, which is 5 feet. A mechitza needs to be 5 feet high, me'ikar adin, in order to solve the purpose of socializing. He does say explicitly, it is kedai to read in that tshuva as well as the next few tshuvas, that ideally the mechitza should go up the whole way and stop the men from seeing the women. But me'ikar adin b'diavad, 5 feet is sufficient because that solves the purpose of socializing. So that is the shita of Rav Moshe. Moving over to the shita of the Satmarav. So obviously, if the purpose of the mechitza is to prevent the men from seeing the women, then the mechitza is going to have to be higher than shoulder height. The mechitza is going to have to go a little bit higher and block the head as well, so that the men cannot see the women. So Rav Mordechai Wilgit said that according to the second approach, it would have to be 6 feet. You would need a 6 foot mechitza in order to serve the role of the Satmarav. So that's obviously the major machlokes haposkim on the issue about the height of the mechitzos in shul. The question was how to resolve the stira in sources, and depending on the purpose of the mechitza would depend on how high the mechitza needs to be. According to Rav Moshe, if the purpose of the mechitza is socializing, so he says, me'ikar adin b'di'evid, shoulder height, a 5 foot mechitza would suffice. Whereas according to the Satmarav, the purpose is histakles, we can't have them seeing the women, so obviously it would have to be higher, which Mordechai Willig said would be 6 feet. Now, Mordechai Willig did add as follows, which is very interesting. He said that there's, you know, l'halach l'maisa, there's a little bit of a dilemma, because on the one hand, Rav Moshe is kind of the posik of America, but at the end of the day, he said that Rov Poskin really just Poskin like the second approach of the Satmarav. And so the way he just to say what he said in the Q&A, he said that ideally the best solution would be to try to take into account Rov Poskim, which is to have a higher mechitza. But he did make the following point. He said that if you go back to the Beis HaMikdash, which is the original source for this whole discussion, so in the Beis HaMikdash, it was clear that the women were able to see what was going on. Whether or not the men could see the women is machlokes between Rav Moshe versus Sat Merav. Could the men see the women all the on the balconies? But it's definitely clear that the women could see the festivities down below. The women did not show up to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva to socialize up above while the men were having fun down below. They clearly came to see what was going on. So it was clear from the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that the women could see the men. So Rav Mordechai Willick had said that if working with this whole premise that this is all built off the Beis HaMikdash, the ideal mechitza would be a mechitza that goes 6 feet high that stops the men from seeing the women, but which would have one-sided glass, that there would be one-sided glass so that the men can't see the women, but the women can see the men. So that was Rav Mordechai Willick's solution to the whole debate. I'm just, once again, the purpose of this chavura is purely to learn up sugyas and to learn up the sugya. I'm not here to present any halacha, to enter any hashkafic issues, b'chlal, certainly not. I'm really just sharing Rav Mordechai Willick's addition just because I thought it was very intelligent, very, very interesting. Okay, let me just check the time. Okay, we'll stop for 2 minutes for questions. Any questions for 2 minutes?
So what according to Rabbi Moshe, reshut, if it's not a sick mitzvah, it's reshut. If the problem is to socialize, so even if it's not for mitzvah, if it's not for a sick mitzvah,
The question was, according to Rav Moshe, when exactly do we need a mechitza?
Yeah,
so that is a complicated discussion. On what venues do we need a mechitza? Rav Moshe had said that definitely during davening itself, it's mashma any time that there is a gathering for an obligation. But he thinks that if it's just for a voluntary reason, if you're gathering for some voluntary reason, then you would not need to have a mechitza, not a mechitza. So now what's called voluntary, what's called an obligation, I guess would be a good discussion. Any other questions?
Does the Satmarav also hold its deraisa to have a mechitza?
Yes, certainly. Does the Satmarav hold its deraisa to have a mechitza? 100%. Okay, fine. Ben. Okay, Ben just asked a really, really good question. Does Rav Moshe hold that you're obligated to have a mechitza during a drasha? So this happens to be a really good example of one marmakom that's explicit in Rishonim and Pesach Halacha, and different people could look at the same marmakom and come to different conclusions. Again, I'm not here to enter any hashkafic issues. I'm really just sharing different marmakomos on the issue. But it's interesting. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Mordechai that it's mutter to put up on Shabbos a mechitza during a drasha. If there's a drasha, that's going to take place in shul, it's mutter to put up that mechitza because it's not a mechitza hamateres. It's not coming to permit a halachic function. So it's mutter to put up the mechitza in shul. This is Mishnah Berurah bringing down the Mordechai. So I saw one source say, aha, we see from here that you don't need to have a mechitza during a drasha because it's not a mechitza hamateres. So that was one conclusion from the Mishnah Berurah. But then I heard Rabbi Leibowitz quote Rav Schachter, and I saw Rabbi Chazkel Abramsky quoted saying the exact opposite. He said, but you see from here that was the minhag, because they're talking about putting it up during the drasha, putting up a mechitza during the drasha between the men and the women. So it's just interesting how you could see the same source and come to different conclusions. Again, my goal tonight is not to take any sides or to discuss hashkafic issues. I'm just sharing interesting marmakomas. Okay, any other? Let's finish up now. Okay, so just to summarize, we went into the sugya of mechitzos in shul during davening. We started out with two preliminary insights from Rav Moshe. Insight number one is that this is a requirement on a deraisa level. Rav Moshe deduced that from the shakla v'tarya, from that give and take in the Gemara and Sukkah. How is this kaval chomer of separate seating changing the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash? So he concluded that it's a deraisa principle. That was point number one. Point number two is, when does this halacha apply? When do you need separate seating? So Rav Moshe says that definitely in shul itself during davening, and it's mashma that anytime there's a public gathering for the sake of a chov. The question was just asked about a drasha, so I just mentioned some interesting marmakomas, but again, I'm not here to get into these issues. I'm just sharing marmakomas on the issue. So those were the two preliminary insights of Rav Moshe. And then we got into the heart of the sugya, which was, so how high does the mechitza need to be? It started out with a stira in sources. On the one hand, the Mishnah and Midos had said that we need to avoid intermingling. The Rambam in Perish Mishnayah said we have to avoid the men seeing the women. How do you resolve the stira? Says Rav Moshe, the real yesod is that we have to avoid intermingling or socializing. Satmar Rav says the real yesod is to avoid the men seeing the women. And the nafkamina is, how high does the mechitza need to be? According to Rav Moshe, it would be 5 feet high. According to the Satmar Rav, it would be 6 feet high. And now let's come back to the original shayla that we posed at the beginning of the shir. So the original shayla we posed at the beginning of the shir was, can you put up the mechitzos in shul on Shabbos? If you have like landers or some kind of shul that doesn't have permanent mechitzos, they have temporary accordion mechitzos, let's say, that they put up every week. So can you put that up in shul halach lamaisa? We paskin, you cannot put up a mechitza hamateres. You can't put up a partition if it's serving a halachic function. So can you put up the mechitzos in shul on Shabbos? So Rav Menashe Klein, in the Mishnah Halachos, he was a big posik in Brooklyn. He wants to say that this is going to depend on the machlokas between Rav Moshe versus the Satmar Rav. So let's go through the two shitas. Starting with the shita of Rav Moshe, what was the purpose of the mechitza according to Rav Moshe? To prevent socializing, to prevent intermingling between the men and the women. Says Rav Menashe Klein, working with the shita of Rav Moshe, it comes out that what's the real purpose of the mechitza? To delineate that the men are in this location and that the women are in that location. We need to define them as being in separate locations. We can't have them in a single location. We can't have intermixing. We have to have them in separate locations. If that's the case, this would be a mechitza hamateres. Because as we saw really last week from the Shulchan Aruch Harav, what's the real yesod of a mechitza hamateres? It's a partition that's defining separate domains. Anytime you have a partition defining separate domains, that would be considered to be a mechitza hamateres. Well, according to Rav Moshe, the mechitza in shul is defining the men on one side, the woman on the other. So he thinks that according to Rav Moshe, that would be a mechitza hamateres, which you cannot put up on Shabbos. On the other hand, moving over to the shita of the Satmar Rav, Satmar Rav shita is, what's the purpose of the mechitza in shul? It's to stop the men from seeing the women. According to that, it comes out that the mechitza is not really defining the men in one location and the women in another location. It's just an obstruction. It's a physical obstruction to block the line of sight. We saw last week that it's perfectly permissible to put up a partition for the sake of snias. If you're trying to get privacy, you don't want someone seeing into your yard, that's not called the mechitza hamateres. It's just obstructing the line of sight. That's permissible to do. And so according to the Satmar Rav, if it's just obstructing the line of sight, it will be mutter to put up on Shabbos. Now, the Orcha Shabbos and Rav Simcha Ben Kohn, they argue on Rav Menashe Klein. They say that even according to Rav Moshe, it's going to be permissible to put up the mechitza in shul on Shabbos. And this is the minhag, everyone does this. It's mutter to put up the mechitzas in shul on Shabbos. Because even according to Rav Moshe, it's true, we can't have intermingling. But does that mean it's a real legal partition that the men are defined in one domain and the women are defined in another domain? It's also a type of obstruction that's stopping the men and women from reaching each other, from socializing. It's not a legal partition to find the men as being on one side and the women on another side. And so they say that even according to Rav Moshe, it would be mutter to put up the mechitzos and shul on Shabbos. And that is how we paskin. Rav Menashe Klein himself says that that's the minhag, to put up the mechitzos and shul on Shabbos. Okay, so we're going to stop now. Thank you very much for joining us. And Emet Hashem, next week, as it looks right now, we'll be finishing up the entire Melacha of Bona. That's the plan as of right now. Well, I guess we'll see what happens, though. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you.
Thank you.